Cats, and welcome to this week's Observations. I'm your host, Sovereign Sire, brought to you by the good or not so good people at julieland.com. As always, I am joined by the wonderful, the legendary, the amazing Mr. Richard Avery.
Good morning, sunshine.
That's all you've got for me today?
Exactly.
And today with me in the Sov Pod is a very special guest. I have with me comedian Rye Silverman. Say hello.
Hello.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Rye?
Yeah. So I'm a comic. I'm based in LA, okay. And I am I do a podcast about Doctor Who. I'm a Sagittarius.
Okay. No, what else? Tell me more.
Closer to the microphone.
Yeah. I just I've been out in LA now for 5 years. I've been doing comedy since 2001, and I used to be like a more of a road comic, traveling around, and then I moved to LA about 5 years ago, and I do stand up and writing.
What is the difference between a road comic and a not road comic?
Mostly, you don't get paid when you're not a road comic. I can be. How much closer can I get to the mic?
Get closer. Just like closer. I'm like Igor. Closer.
That's perfect.
You can hold it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Don't be okay, shy. Then yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Okay, I didn't realize that was a thing. So road comedy, like when I started, like there's different types of road comedy.
Okay.
Like there are just people who work comedy clubs, and those are people who actually can like have enough of a following that can get booked regularly or whatever. And you know, usually you work in clubs and you'll work like a week at a club as like a middle act or a headlining act or whatever. And then there's also this other road that's kind of the dirt road, I guess, where you're basically doing gigs in the middle of nowhere. And they're called like one-nighters. And it's basically you get paid very little money and you drive 6 to 8 hours to get that little bit of money. And you try to sell T-shirts and CDs and stuff to make. It's kind of like, do you remember the movie The Wrestler with...
Yes.
When he's doing those like really like low-end wrestling things and like they actually sit in a room and sign autographs and then they're just at a bar. That's basically what road comedy is like if you're like not a not established. And so I would do clubs too.
So how long did you do that for?
I did that for about 7 or 8 years.
Whoa.
And then a big reason why
that's
I stopped.
Intense.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I could have kept doing it, but a big reason why I stopped is because, you know, there's a certain point where like, oh, I'm spending all my time on the road and I'm not really that fulfilled by what I'm doing with it. Because you kind of have to, you can't do as much of like what you want to do sometimes. You kind of have to play to the room a little bit, and that can be frustrating if you're not that kind of comic. Like, I know a lot of guys who are really good at that kind of comedy, and like that's like their like bread and butter, and that's great for them.
So what I got to ask then, what's the worst thing that ever happened on the road?
I got pulled over. Nothing really, really horrible happened to me on the road. Mostly it was just a lot of really, really crappy hotel rooms and like frightening people and stuff. Like, I've had some friends who've had a lot worse road stories than I have. Like I've had friends who've had knives pulled on them and like people like threatening to like actually grabbing them to fight them in a bar and stuff like that. Nothing like that really ever happened to me on the road. The worst I ever had was I did a gig in Alabama where our hotel room like just didn't even have a door attached to the room. Like that was like,
whoa.
And we're like, oh, we're not going to stay here. And then at the same gig, there was like a guy who was working there who I didn't find this information out until the other comic who had booked the gig was like, oh, you were just in the hospital. What had happened was this guy who was a cook, his wife was like the hostess. They were giving a waitress like they were like walking her to her car, giving her a ride or something. And her jealous husband thought they were like trying to like get his wife away from him or something. And he like hit them with his car and like dragged them, like not like at high speed, but like the cook had been dragged by the car for like several like hundred yards.
Wow.
Like not several hundred yards, several yards. It wasn't like multiple football fields, but it was like, yeah, it was. And like he was back at work that week, and then like we at that same show, somebody pulled a gun in the parking lot like later in the night, and like that guy jumped on the guy with the gun and like held him down until like the cops were able to get them.
Wow.
And it was that kind of thing. It was so funny because what the buddy of the comic who booked it, who had come with us, was trying to hook up at that bar, and he kept saying like, oh, I think I'm gonna hook up with that lady. He meant the wife of the guy who held the gun. I go, oh, that's the guy you're gonna hook. That's the guy whose wife you're gonna hook up with. That guy.
Yeah.
Like you came running in the bar and yelled, there's guns here and hid in the bathroom. I don't think you're the one. I don't think you're the one.
Wow. Yeah. But they like comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do like jokes, but he wasn't a comic.
But they love to laugh.
Say what though, the show was actually really fun. Like that show was great. Although after the show, because I had replaced another comic, and I wasn't openly trans then. I was performing as like a straight dude.
Okay.
I was
gonna ask, is that challenging?
That's a big reason why I stopped doing the road.
Okay.
Because I came out. I came out after I've been doing comedy for about 9 years. And okay. A big reason for it was, like, for a long time, I wasn't coming out because I was like, oh, all these gigs I'm doing, I'm not going to be able to do these gigs, and it's going to be awful. And then I had one where it was just, like, so soul-sucking and, like, just awful.
Right.
And I was driving back. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not that sad about losing these gigs.
Right.
So, but the night of the show in Alabama, I had replaced a comic who was black, and he was on the flyers and all the bills and stuff like that, and he had to cancel, and I filled in. And after the show, one of the guys that had been in the audience goes, well, I liked the show, but I just want to make sure I thank y'all boys for changing your color.
Wow.
That was like his reason. I swear to God. I want to believe that he was just messing with me to like see what I would do,
but I
don't know for certain. In that same town, it was a weird thing where all of the women in the town who were like married had their husbands' names tattooed on their body. Like on their arm or like whatever. It was like a weird branding.
You know,
yeah.
If you drink a lot.
I just like the idea of like a family had been divorced a few times. Like I like the idea of her having like each one crossed out and like ones written in, but like not even removed. Just
it's
replaced.
Like the concert t-shirts that, you know, the band goes on the road. Cities are crossed out. Yeah, Boston, LA, New York. It's like Jim, Bob.
Billy Bob, 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
Earl, 2003, 2004.
Exactly.
Billy Bob again. We gave it a shot.
Exactly.
Oh, it's like my dad has been married. My natural father's been married 5 times, twice to the same woman.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Twice to the same lady.
Nice.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I think that's hilarious. I tried to mention him that maybe he's like not good at being married.
Yeah.
Maybe he should
there's
stop.
A lot. There's some people who like the idea of having a wedding.
Yeah.
Who like the idea of getting married. They don't actually like being married.
My dad is very feminine, mm-hmm. you know, in his the way he is. So it wouldn't surprise me that he'd be like one of these. He's sort of more like a lady. Like, I just want to be married. I just want to
I just want to settle down.
Yeah, like I feel like he has that kind of mentality.
Or he likes presents.
I have some family members that are like that have definitely had several weddings, and it's like maybe just. And at this point, they've chilled out a bit, and they're just like, I'm gonna be single. Hey, that works. Do that. Good for you.
Being single is way better.
But I have an uncle. Well, I don't have an uncle anymore. He's divorced. My aunt's ex-husband, who actually, while they were in the process of going through the divorce, he actually got taken in by one of those Nigerian scammers.
No like, way.
He got in a situation where he was basically on the internet talking to probably not really a woman, but like, and he fell in love with this woman, and she was gonna fly to America to be with him. And he actually borrowed money from my grandma, who's like his soon-to-be ex-wife's like stepmother, and like borrowed money from her to give to this lady as like their dowry.
Wow.
And then he went to the airport with like a suit and like flowers and like waited, and then she didn't show up. And the idea was she was supposed to bring diamonds with her that would like pay back the money that he spent to send her. That's what the money wasn't her dowry. The money was to get her to America.
Right.
The diamonds were her dowry. And then, so then, when she wasn't there, he went back to her and he emailed her again and said, hey, why weren't you at the airport? Oh, there was a problem with customs. I need you to send more money. And then he sent more money.
Oh,
Lord.
You hear these stories and you always think, nobody's dumb enough to fall for this shit.
So they didn't know that he knew about it until the divorce hearings. Like while they were having, like in the middle of like this hearing, my aunt's lawyer goes, so, who do you know in Nigeria? And like his face just went beet red.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess like hope springs eternal in the human heart, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like everyone wants to fall in love.
I guess so.
Everyone wants that amazing story. So speaking of Nigerian princes and money, so we were going to talk about conspiracy theories.
All right.
And
what is that?
That was a beautiful segue.
I was going to say, what are you going to
speaking of one thing that
we're going
to
talk about.
Speaking of one thing that has nothing to do with the other.
Are you going
to talk about
speaking of things that aren't true on the internet?
Yes.
Is that Obama's not an American? Is that where you were going?
Oh,
with
are
this?
You a birther?
Yeah.
Let's talk about conspiracy theories.
Right.
When I was on Twitter and I was asking people what we should talk about, and then you were tweeting astronauts, and I was like, someone else knows about
that. Oh my God. I mean, it's a TV show, but the whole concept of ancient aliens is fascinating to me. Like, it's just.
I was exposed very slowly. I was exposed by someone that was on a lot of drugs.
Okay.
I'm going to say that I was in the room, but not perhaps on drugs as well. I was just hanging out with a lot of people that were doing a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
Seems to be a common denominator with interest in the ancient astronaut.
Yeah.
First of all, drugs are a good thing, so let's not give drugs a bad
name. I'm not saying there, but I'm not admitting any thing I happen to associate with.
I admit it all the time.
Yeah. The thing about ancient astronaut theory is that at the very, very core of the belief, it's not that crazy. Like, it's not any crazier than, like, what we think of as, like, typical religious beliefs of, like,
sure.
the world. I mean, honestly, if you believe in science and you believe in the idea that there are extraterrestrials and that's it's a very infinite universe and we've been around for billions of years as a universe, the idea that a species seeded a planet and created, like, life on that planet is not that far out of an idea.
We're talking Prometheus here?
So Prometheus is based on the very similar idea. Yeah. A lot of sci-fi uses that concept. It's basically the tenets of, like, you know, I don't want to get too into Scientology, but the idea of Scientology is, like,
right.
human well, life on
the,
Earth
who
is...
Who was the famous... getting my phone to look at information. Who was the famous guy that kind of wrote the first thing, like, Chariots of the Gods?
Oh, that was Zechariah Sitchin.
Sitchin.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's the guy who... I know a lot about the theory... That's what I'm saying. So the very core of it is not crazy...
Right.
But everything they think is real, and, like, the dogma of the idea is, like,
yeah.
it's so much pseudoscience. And I'm not even, like, a heavily scientific person.
Right.
But, like, so much of it, like, just on the basis, I'm like, why did you come to this conclusion? Like, it's the weirdest.
Well, why do
my
you think
my first question, are you religious at all?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not,
do you,
like,
believe in God?
I do. But I'm much more, like, I have a very agnostic point of view, which is, like, I don't know for sure if there's a God or not, but I have a very
but in
secular,
just in case there is, you don't want
to hedge my bets. I have a very secular view of faith in that I believe that the universe has physical scientific properties and, like, it all works within science. And then if there is something else there, it's kind of like with outside of that. So
right.
I never believe that faith trumps science. Like, I'm never
right.
that person. But
okay,
yeah,
that makes it for me. I just need to understand so that I do believe some of those things about ancient astronauts. I never called it that, but
yeah,
as a kid growing up. I always, you know, I grew up Catholic, but I always thought this was wacky, and I always felt like there's something more. We can't be the only thing in this galaxy.
Well,
it's impossible.
I get more, because I have a sociology background, and my bachelor's degree, like, I double majored in sociology and English lit, and so I always have, like, this thing of, like, why? Like, it picks up speed, and there's so many people that kind of, like, even if they're not going to go, like, I fully believe this, or they know all about it.
Yeah.
It's like... Why do you think it is that we tend to pick up on these things and, like, we want to believe that these kind of extraordinary things are pot, like, what's the appeal, do you think, of, like, this belief that we were, like, seeded by aliens and like kind of these elaborate fantasies that people build up around that? Like,
you know what I think it is? I believe, actually, if you look at, like, older cultures and folklore, like, people used to believe in, like, elves and, like, red caps and, like, goblins and things like that. And, like, banshees, like, there's all these, I'm very, obviously very based on Celtic mythology, but even mythology of, like, Nordic or, like, Greek mythology, Zeus, I think there's, like, a thing in human nature to kind of want to believe there's, like, some sort of magic or mystery to the world, and
would you say there's something more than just us?
Right, I think there's some appeal to the idea of there being something that's out of our control.
Right.
So the idea, like, and so I think modern day conspiracy theory really is kind of a evolution of folklore in a way that it's like, okay, well, we can't believe in gods pulling the strings, but we can all believe that there is an Illuminati force that's been destined to control the world, and they're all descended from the same monarchs in England.
Right.
Like, I think that people can. Oh, there's a race of lizard people that live under the Denver airport that are gonna take over. Like, I think that's very, like, it's so.
Never heard that.
No,
one.
I get it. Like,
Google Denver airport. You'll never have.
Are you
the familiar end of
with
pages.
David? Are you familiar with David Icke? I've been.
No,
to
I don't.
I've been to three David Icke lectures.
Oh, really?
Don't know who he is.
Oh, Richard.
I know.
I think he knows, and he's trying to pretend he
doesn't. No, I don't know.
I think
mean,
he's
come
in on.
On
it.
I'm too busy.
Conspiracy.
Here's the thing.
That's
like,
that's the conspiracy theory thing where if you don't believe in it or if you question it, then it's like, oh, you're in on it. Like, my favorite one of those is the... for something that I didn't...
I like that.
There's a term in, like, I can't remember what it refers to. It's like rhetoric, whatever, but called the Bader-Meinhof complex where, like, suddenly, like, you've never thought, nothing's ever, like, really kind of crossed your path, and then suddenly when it does, you just see it everywhere. And that happened to me with chemtrails, where have you heard of the chemtrail conspiracy theory? The idea is that the government has been put, like, all the trails you see behind airplanes are not just, like, jet streams and air pressure changes, like clouds. They're actually chemicals that have been put in every airplane's tank, and they are seeding this, like, mind control chemical that is slowly controlling the population from the government. And anybody, like, if you're a pilot and you're like, I work on a plane, I know exactly what this is the base. They go, you're in on it. Like anybody who questions it is part of the conspiracy, right, and it just builds.
Or you think you know, but you don't know.
Right, exactly.
You're a pawn, you just don't realize it.
Oh, but the thing is, they never even give them that benefit of the doubt. It's always, clearly you're part of it.
Right.
But I always like that one because it's like the most impotent conspiracy theory ever, because if there are chemtrails, they're clearly not working because enough people who believe in them know they're there, they are a real thing.
Right.
And it's not like we as a culture have become extremely complacent, No, the internet did that.
I get that. I mean, to me,
I'm like, I think the first thing I encountered was I was on a lot of drugs. I was in a weird place in my life. I was in that, like, you know, post school, what am I going to do with my life? Spending a lot of time, like, I was like writing a novel and just partying and kind of having my, you know, sort of having my existential young artist's experience.
Sure.
And I came across, and I think I just experienced some sort of narcissistic injury. I can't remember what it was. It was some kind of very pivotal breakup or something. And I came across this documentary. It was like an Alex Jones documentary.
Oh,
it was like
one of the first ones.
But I remember watching it and I wasn't sure that I believed half of what I was seeing, but it just blew my fucking mind. That someone had thought it up, had gotten the money together, had like made this amazing documentary, and was like had these like had created as a writer, I'm like had created the most elaborate narrative I had ever encountered for literally everything that was wrong with the world, and I was like, this is like the most genius narrative. It's like someone made the fucking puzzle box from the Hellraiser movies,
and they even build in the net, like, because the thing is, the government is. We're always, it's like we both believe in this overpowering, like dominating government. And at the same time, we also believe the government can't get anything accomplished ever. And it's like,
because they're stupid.
Yeah. Right. It's like, it's such a, so that means like if the conspiracy theory is true, the government has actually built an entire bureaucratic nightmare shadow government that like exists in front of whatever they're doing to control. Like, and that's impressive to me if they're able to do that. Like,
but that, I think they're just too stupid to do stuff like that. I don't know.
Well, it's just like one of those things where it's like watching someone put that together the way that it was put together.
No, I get that. Like, I think that just takes creativity and imagination. Jones, like, and you can like, you can come up with any, you can create anything.
To me, like the thing with David Icke and Alex Jones is like, they're so charismatic. It's like, they're like when you want, like I've seen two David Icke lectures because I just love to watch him talk. It's like there's just something about him that's so like, magnetic.
But that's kind of like, you know, Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity.
Oh yeah, my dad, who's like, I mean, he's not like super left, but he's been a Democrat his whole life and is very, you know, pretty liberal. Always involved in labor unions and stuff like that. But he listens to Rush Limbaugh almost every day in his car because it just entertains him. Just he just can't believe how nuts the guy is. Yeah. And it's like fun for him.
And those guys have all their crazy conspiracy theories.
Oh, they all do.
Well, for me, like I like listening to the thing I like about David Icke or Alex Jones is that like I'm never worried about someone listening to them and like the worst that's gonna happen if you really listen to Alex Jones or David Icke and like really fucking believe it is that you're going to think more critically about the news that's presented to you. If you take Bill O'Reilly or like these other conservatives really seriously, like the worst that can happen is like some fucking crazy shit.
Like, or you might vote crazy, even voting for the wrong people because of something that's not true. You were told it's like dangerous.
Yeah. And so my thing is like, oh, but Alex Jones or whatever. It's like, if you sit and listen to that and like, even though it's like a lot of it's very crazy, if you sit and listen to it, the worst that's going to happen. And even for me, I was like, is you'll just go like, oh, I'm going to think a little bit more critically about this law that's being passed. Like, what exactly is a FEMA camp? And is that kind of maybe like a racist weird thing? Or is it like what? Like, at the end of the day, ultimately, I'm really just going to kind of question a little bit.
What conspiracy do you guys believe in most? Like, which one? Like, are you like 9/11 conspiracy?
I don't know. I don't believe it. I believe that. I don't believe in the entire Truther thing, the idea that the government actually orchestrated 9/11.
Yeah.
I could be convinced that they were aware it was going to happen and let it happen because they wanted to further the agenda that they did. Not unlike how it's basically been proven that we knew that Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor and we use it as an excuse to get into World War II.
Right.
So that would not be that hard for me because there's like all this evidence of all this chatter they had coming up to 9/11 that like they're like, oh, everyone dropped the ball that day.
Yeah.
And I just, in my mind, I go, did they? Did they really? And I think that like it's really conceivable even that Bush purposefully was like at that school that day, like, no, I was just reading a book to kids, like I was doing nothing. Like it's such a setup thing that I can believe. The idea that the buildings were laced with explosives and that the planes didn't actually blow up the buildings at all and there were no planes, I don't believe that at all. Right. I think that's absolutely true. But
yeah, the only, I don't know, it's really weird.
I believe the reptilian one.
Do you believe Kennedy was assassinated?
Well, then you would love Doctor Who, because Doctor Who has a whole secret race of reptiles.
Yeah, but do you believe that Kennedy was assassinated
by one? I actually heard guys recently having a Kennedy. It was the weirdest thing. I was having lunch in Burbank, and like four guys behind me were suddenly just cracking the JFK conspiracy. I was like, oh, that's not something I've heard people just discussing in a bar in a long time. Their big thing was that I didn't listen to all of it because it was like kind of coming in and out, but I know the idea was that, you didn't need to curve the bullet because the seat was lowered an inch in the car so that he would be just low enough for the bullet to hit. And then also apparently he and Lee Harvey Oswald had actually met previously while they were both in Europe.
Oh, wow.
So that was like the two main points that I could get.
I think he was assassinated by Republicans.
Oh.
Was it just Republicans or like the CIA in general?
Somebody on that right side of things, basically. I mean, it might have been Republicans, but I think he was. I think it was all something behind it. I always say, like, the weirdest thing, I've been in both places where both Kennedys died.
Oh, really?
I've been on that spot in Texas, and then I've been at the old hotel where his brother got killed.
Yeah.
Mm. On that same
spot. Now, do you think his brother was also, or do you think it was just the mob, or do you think it was...
I don't know. I don't think it was just some random dude wants to kill the president.
Was it Rachel Dratch or Tina Fey? Like, someone wrote a book where it was called, like, Assassin Summer or something.
Oh, Assassination Vacation. It was Sarah Vowell from This American Life.
Yeah, she, NPR. Like, wrote it. She basically went to the site. She, like, took a summer. And went to the sites of, like, the assassinations.
Okay. Of every president.
I'll tell you.
I can't believe you knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
I like Sarah Vowell, so that's how I
know. Okay. That's awesome. That's a total random reference.
Yeah, I know. I remember it mostly because she was on The Daily Show promoting it when she was doing it. So.
Yeah, that's where I remember it from. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, oh my gosh.
You're watching too much TV.
A decade ago.
The joke is I don't watch TV. I haven't watched TV since high school.
So. Okay.
Right.
I don't.
Except for
when I'm...
Oh, yeah, I love that. I don't have a TV, and then they like, oh, I watch Netflix. Okay, then you have TV, and it's just in your computer now.
I started watching Netflix about 6 or 8 months ago. It's totally killed my productivity, so like I'm about to actually get rid of it.
There's lots of documentaries on there.
Yeah, but I'm about to like get rid of it again, because it's like... My thing used to be, I travel a lot for my jobs, so I was like, I only watch TV when I'm in hotel rooms, so therefore, the only TV I watch is like every Law and Order,
and reruns on Comedy Central.
Yeah, like basically, that's where we're at. I believe in the reptilian conspiracy, but on a much more like metaphorical level.
Okay, I need to explain that.
I can totally believe in like that we were seeded by ancient aliens and that there's like actually different strains of us
on other planets.
Evolution can be that like there's some of us were seeded by this kind of aliens, some of us maybe existed of aliens that were already here,
right.
Like whatever. But I definitely feel like in a very sort of like Jared Diamond, Guns, Germs, and Steel kind of way that some people just seem to be more... Like when you look at the world, like some people seem to be more emotionally evolved. Mm-hmm. Some people just seem to have a more native capacity for things like compassion and empathy. Some people seem like way more comfortable being warmongers.
That can be
like
true, but that doesn't necessarily need to have a conspiracy. I mean, that can just be the way, you know, nature, because like the way evolution works and the way natural selection works is it kind of tries out different things and then what sticks. So
well, I think it's
that could just be like as society has changed the traits that like back in like, ancient Sparta, that whole civilization, they basically threw away anybody who wasn't going to be like tough warmongery. Whereas like other, like in Athens, they like, well, we're going to raise up the people who were good at leading. And so that's like why those two would be very different as their generations go through.
I guess it's like, that goes back to what you were saying at the beginning, which is that it's kind of like, for me, it's, I'm much more willing to believe this kind of, I like the idea of ancient aliens seeding as like, to me, that's a better metaphor than God.
Yeah.
That's way more better. So that's a way better like metaphor for me than like Old Testament.
But do you think, so you think certain people were predestined to have like certain roles in society, sort of?
Yeah, like it's sort of like believing.
So you don't believe in Adam and Eve then, is what you're saying?
Yeah, or just like instead of race being a thing about like skin color or like whatever, like race being something about like maybe like an genetic code like from aliens.
So your like, belief is actually the storyline for that movie Divergent. That's the,
I haven't seen it.
The
tell
basic
me.
Premise of that is like it's a very like it's a post-apocalyptic dystopia, and the idea is that like you're basically given a role in society based on like what your core aptitude is. So,
it's like Career Day in high school.
Yeah, it very much. I haven't read the book because the movie wasn't that good. So I didn't.
I'm sure
that
it was written by a woman too.
But it was the idea of it was. I think it's like a very devout Christian woman too, which is weird.
But
the movie
everything.
Is because the movie has like no theism to it at all. Yeah. But the idea is so. Like if you're I can't remember the names of the group off the top of my head. There's like Amity, so like there's the people who are like the farmers, and like they're like then there's like the people who are called I can't remember. But each group like basically if you're like strongest thing is that you're honest, then they put you like in the law area. If your strongest thing is that you're very like if you're big on charity, there's like a group that like give it's like right. They're almost like Amish people,
right? And then okay. If you're an asshole, you become a leader.
Well, they have though that there's a group that's called like Dauntless, and that's like the soldier. So yeah. It's like you're born in a group, and you usually stay within your own group. But there's like a big choosing day, almost like the Sorting Hat in Harry Potter,
right.
And you actually like go to this place and you take a test, and the test tells you this is the one core
you
thing
see,
that
like,
you're.
I'm like that's such a problematic way to structure
yeah,
society.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. So then like the
seriously,
the,
sounds like Career Day.
The yeah. conflict of the movie in the book that's based on is that the main girl is neither she's. Has aptitude like there's some people who they call factionless who just have no aptitudes, but she's like got multiple aptitudes, and that's a danger for society because free will is a problem. And
right, but like yeah, I think it's like because when you think about that, it's like if you have a group of soldiers, you want some to be total assholes, but you
yeah.
want some to be very honest, and
yeah,
you
yeah.
want some to be very charitable because they all have to like work together.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah,
to create something that's like approaching justice.
Yeah, yeah.
So like out in the field, they're not like
yeah.
Know,
well, it's even in the movie, there's a
like,
thing where
you know,
like
hunting people's. Hymens for trophies or something like
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Or like people yeah exactly. you need a Michael J. Fox in there to feel guilty about it.
Exactly. You have to have someone like it's like in that movie Full Metal Jacket. You have to have someone that like stops the gang rape and goes, "Hey,
yeah,
don't
hey,
fucking do that."
Guys.
Like, "Hey guys, don't fucking
that
do that."
That wasn't Full Metal Jacket.
What was
Casualties of War?
Was that Apocalypse Now?
Well, I was saying Casualties of War. That's the one Michael J. Fox, where he's like the guy who's.
Well,
like,
no, I'm thinking yeah. of the yeah. one like it was Apocalypse Now, where it's like they're in Vietnam and they've captured some people, and then there's two guys.
That's
and
not
got,
that's not Apocalypse Now either. I know what movie you're
is
talking
that Full
about.
Full Metal Jacket?
No,
isn't it Casualties of War? Or is it
no.
something
no,
different?
No, no, no.
Oh, is it Platoon?
No,
Platoon. I think it is Platoon, because there's a point where one like stops him and goes like, "Oh, they're gonna rape that girl, aren't they?" And then
yeah.
he kind of walks over and he's like, "Hey, like, don't."
No, there's
yeah.
two.
Do that.
There's two movies you're talking about. There's a scene like that in Platoon, and there is a movie with Michael J. Fox and Sean Penn, and I'll look it up.
It's Casualties of War.
Is it Casualties of War?
I said it like several times. Yeah, I definitely know Michael
Ryan's
J. Fox
like,
was
listen.
In Casualties of War. Yeah, I definitely know that one because that was like, cause it was a time where the reason why I know that is it came out not long after Back to the Future, and I. like Michael J. Fox with Back to the Future and Family Ties,
and
I wanted to go see that. My mom's like, "No,
you went to go see Casualties
I didn't
Wars,
see it,
and you're like, "Where's Biff? Where's
right,
Biff?"
Right, I didn't get. I wasn't allowed to go see it because my mom knew what it was about. I was like, "No, we're not letting you go see that movie." And then like she was like trying to explain the concept of what a gang rape would be to a child who would have no concept of like
oh,
a group
God,
of people forcing
right?
sex on. Yeah.
I could just see they're like, "Where's Biff?" And mom, like, "What's going on here? Where's,
this is a
like,
whole platoon of Biffs.
Car? Where's the car?"
Well, there is an attempted rape scene in Back to the Future because Biff tries to rape
right?
Lorraine.
Exactly. No, like, do you ever look at that where you go back at your like you go back and you look at these things you were exposed to as a kid and you're like,
"Yeah,
holy shit!" Like I because you know Colleen McCullough died who wrote The Thornbirds.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you read that book.
Mm-mm.
Or saw the miniseries.
I know
whatever.
Of it, but I have never
but
been
like,
exposed to it.
So I remember, I mean, it was written in the 70s, but I had a babysitter that read it, and it was like there was a sex scene in it or something. And I remember at like maybe 10 or something, picking up this book and reading it. And there's this very like, it's not necessarily a graphic depiction of like some girl losing her virginity, but it's more this depiction of a girl sort of marrying this dude not because she loved him and like kind of having to like, you know, like kind of enduring these like frustrations. And I remember as a kid being sort of like, whoa, this is like really intense. Like people get married because they don't love each other. And like some women like suffer their entire lives and toil under like this like really oppressive lifestyle. And then they die. And like I remember like being like really intense and no one was like guiding me through that process. It was like, I was just like secretly now had this knowledge that I was walking around with and like it didn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And you I think of so many things and like that's that. Even, like, that's like even a modern,
yeah, but that's even a modern thing to have your mind blown. I know we had to wrap it up, but yeah.
I was going to say you should have been reading Dr. Seuss.
Or watching Doctor Who. sorry, off-camera joke. But they're off-mic joke. But there's like think about that, that blew your mind as a kid, like people get married not for love or whatever. It's so interesting because if you think about it, that is even like a new concept to have your mind blown by, because really it's only a relatively new historical concept to marry for love.
Right.
It always used to be you married the person that your parents were like, this is who we're selling you to.
Right.
So like it's so interesting to think that that's a now a thing that like to not do that seems mind blowing. Like,
right.
Yeah.
And then to wrap it up, and then we bring it all back to these weird like conspiracy theories that kind of reinforce these very primitive beliefs. So
yeah.
Basically, as I always say, the human race is just fucking stupid.
Well, we're definitely like on an endless feedback loop.
Our aliens didn't make us properly.
Yeah.
Right. They screwed up. They were drinking that night.
Yeah.
Mixed a few things. Went, oops.
Well, I know we're wrapping it up. The one thing that's funny, to come back to Ancient Aliens, that drives me crazy about it is when you watch like the show on History Channel, which first of all, but second, the idea, there's always like they'll show this really cool piece of ancient technology, like the Baghdad Battery. And they'd be like, look how advanced the humans were back then. They were able to use these clay pots to make a battery. So even though all the stuff they're showing you is man-made and an impressive man-made thing, they're like, clearly it must have been aliens. I'm like, but you just proved that humans could do this. And they're like, so there's like this weird inherent thing where like they can't possibly consider that maybe ancient people were more advanced than we thought they were.
Yeah.
Anything that proves they were is like, nope, definitely an alien.
Yeah. So like if they literally went back 2,000 years and said, look at this 2,000-year-old iPod, and it was really cool, then I'd be impressed. Like, dude.
But like a pot?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's
Egyptians built boats and sailed to South America. Must have been aliens, or it was a boat.
Well, I think it goes back to RuPaul just tweeted the other day. She tweeted, "If you didn't have someone to fight against, would you even exist?"
Oh,
and
man.
I think that that's kind of that in a nutshell is our whole.
Oh, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Yeah, I think that like conspiracy theories or anything, like I think it ultimately comes down to that. It's like we're kind of defined by opposition.
It's the gods that create. It's Hades having the underworld that we have to avoid. Like it's definitely.
Yeah, like that's how we kind of define ourselves. And with that, my dear Sirenauts,
wow,
we must leave you, but we will return again
once we have seeded new planets.
Exactly. Noli me tangere, right? Is that is that funny? Are you laughing?
I am laughing.
Bri's laughing, really. I made a comedian laugh. Yay. All right, bye, everybody. Before we go, Rye, can you tell people how to find you? You have a website, you have shows,
I do. RyeSilverman.com is my website. It's kind of just a web portal that has links to my Facebook and my Twitter and my Tumblr page. I have a blog on Tumblr called chicklikemeblog.tumblr.com. And if this airs before March 14th, I'm recording a live comedy album in Los Angeles at the Tal Comedy Studio. And if it's after that, then go to my site and I'll be posting once it's being made available.
What's your Twitter?
Do you have a...
At Rye Silverman.
Okay.
And do you have, on your Tumblr or any of those, do you have like sort of a calendar that lists your shows as they're kind of...
I have the thing for the album recording. Most of my shows are local in LA right now, so mostly it's just if you go to my Facebook page, I'll update, and on my Twitter, I'll tweet when I have shows coming up and stuff like that.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I will see you again. Thanks.